boy. Bring it here yet, though, huh?
Oh, he's still away on vacation.
Oh, did he know where he went to?
I don't know where he is, no.
Nobody seems to have heard nothing about him.
Not any postcards whatsoever.
No?
No.
Nothing came in, huh?
No. Well, here it is, a brand new week, and welcome everybody to a brand new program. Another program in the new series, same series, but another week of the same series.
It's a very serious program, in fact.
It is serious today because our contest is definitely closed.
Yes?
We announced on Saturday, for those of you who still plan to send in entries, that we had our first ten right answers to the mystery band thing, and we still had some returns this morning. So
yes,
if you weren't listening
last week,
we're telling you that again today.
The mail has been flooding in here, Bob.
It has.
And I understand they put on 3 new mailmen today to carry the load.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'd like to mention those winners' names again today. Bob Miller of Chestnut Hill was one. He's here with us, as a matter of fact. He dropped in this morning, and we may hear from him later. Mrs. Joseph Lyons of Dorchester, Mildred Gilmore of Lynn, Mrs. Touchette of Medford. I don't know why I always worry about that one. Touche? No, it's E-T-T-E, Touchette. D.A. Scully of Cambridge, Mrs. Paul Bauer of Norfolk Downs was a winner, Mrs. Louise Roberta of Cohasset was a winner.
Oh, wait, what was that?
Hold on right there. I don't know Mrs. Roberta, but she is a winner. Miss Donna Goyette of Bedford is another one.
Cohasset.
Eugene Levine of Brighton. He could belong to My Name is a Poem Club, couldn't he? Mrs. Rita Dace of North Quincy. Those are the 10 winners. They have been notified by mail. They should receive their prizes within a few days. Those prizes included one.
It was. Let me see.
Box of Cynthia Sweets.
Box of Cynthia Sweets.
Candy.
Candy, right.
And another one was two
Number
tickets
two
to
was,
State
two,
or Orpheum Theater.
Two tickets to theater.
Low State or Orpheum.
Low State or Orpheum.
The Red Danube.
For the motion picture, The Red Danube.
Right. 3 of the latest MGM record releases.
And there were, let me see, I think it was three.
Three was right.
Record releases by a well-known company.
MGM.
Oh, MGM.
Then we had a famous fried clam dinner at Maury Pearl's restaurant in Quincy. That was another prize.
Then there was some kind of a meal or something like that at a South Shore dining spot.
Maury Pearl's in Quincy.
I think it was fried clam dinner.
No, we haven't. Then 2 tickets to any ballroom where Freddie Sotirial and his band are appearing.
One of the local orchestras is offering tickets.
Freddie Sotirial's band.
Oh, Freddie Sotirial's band was offering tickets.
Look, can't you be more on the ball? You're supposed to have rehearsed all of this and been able to repeat them after me in rapid succession. But
I had everything down right, though.
Yes, you had everything right. We could have a cigarette and get that out of the way. We've got to play that mystery tune again, and we hope before the half hour is over to have the band leader who directed that combination here with us at this very microphone.
Isham Jones.
No, it isn't Isham Jones.
Al Newman and his orchestra.
No. It isn't Chester Memory either. But let's have a Chesterfield and then we'll play the record.
Chesterfield over and over again. Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield A, B, C.
I understand, Albert, that you're doing the sports warm-up time today for Leo Egan, who happens to be in New York for some reason.
I am Leo Egan today.
You are Leo Egan today.
Right. I think there's some kind of a crucial contest about to take place in Gotham. And for that...
In New York, there's going to be a ball game.
We in radio call it Gotham.
Okay.
There's going to be a crucial contest.
Yes, between who?
Between the league-tied New York Yankees and league-tied McCarthy men.
Right. And the Red Sox.
Well, the Red
Sox. Three teams.
Nobody calls them the Red Sox in baseball.
Today will be the game. Good morning, Norman. Today will be the game which will really
let
us know how the rest of the season is going to go. Norm, you have anything particular over there that you...
Letter for Al Burns.
This is the first one I've got here since I've been at the station.
You dare to open this and read it on the air?
I'll read it over silently first.
You will, huh? That's always a safe. You have one there for me, too?
David O. Albert Associates.
Oh, yeah. That's for you, though, Norm.
This comes from Charles Dinsmore, who is now in Machias, Maine.
Alan Morris is in the record library. Like, this is not a local post office,
fellas. Can't you please send some of the money you owe me? Long time no hear or something. If you'll let me, I'll try to get a reason for two of the long delays between letters.
Well, I tell you, while we're reading our mail, why don't we listen to our mystery record?
A check? I went into hibernation.
I saw I had one
of
those.
Not because of the check, but because
here's our mystery record. Cover me up with the sunshine of Virginia. This all coming through all right, friends. Cover Me Up with the Sunshine of Virginia, which was our mystery song last week. The song was no mystery, but the band was. Be reminded again that the contest is over. We have our 10 winners. We have announced their names, and we will announce the name of the band, the correct answer, a little bit later this afternoon. See if you can play some music that's a little more up to date. Will you, Ken? Bill? Song from 1929. That's about 5 years after that one came out.
would you ever happen to think up using wedding bells in that arrangement, Ken? I think that's one of the most ingenious strokes of ingenuity for a long time.
We do, too.
Wedding bells bring up that old game.
I had nothing to do with it.
That was Bill Green that said that. Well, how would you have arranged it had you been the arranger?
Much differently.
Start it again, Ken.
Oh, that's...
Well, I suppose
sure.
It is.
Get up, Green.
No more arranging for Green. Is he getting a check for arranging on this program, too? Or is he just the band boy? He just collects the music, doesn't he?
My librarian.
Okay. Well, back in April, on April 20th this year, I believe it was this year, we received a piece of copy from the agency which handles Cynthia Sweets.
Yeah?
And I'm happy to say that piece of copy is still in use. We've got news for all of our Cynthia Sweets fans.
Yeah?
And it's for Cynthia Sweets has perfected a new product which we know all of you will enjoy as much as we do.
So far, I haven't heard anything new.
It's the Cynthia Sweets Coconut Cream Bar, a delicious pure coconut cream bar. Cynthia Sweets' own blend and formula which makes it the best-tasting 5-cent candy bar your mouth has ever watered for.
Pardon me, Bob, but I think that I've heard that on the radio a couple of times
before. You
might
have heard it once or twice. If you've tasted the rest, though, now taste the best. Cynthia Sweets' Coconut Cream Bar is a quality serving of candy backed by the fine name of Cynthia, famous in candy for over 50 years. Now it's 51 since we got this copy the first time. You can get this new 5-cent Cynthia Sweets' Coconut Cream Bar at drugstores and at candy counters everywhere. Ask for it. If your dealer has not stocked it as yet, we say demand it. Your friends, if you've tasted the rest, now taste the best. Buy several bars at your favorite candy counter today and treat the whole family. In other words, if you have five in your family, buy five bars. If you have four, buy four bars.
What if you have 14?
Buy 14 bars.
What if you had six?
Six bars. See, it works
13.
Out. 13 bars.
Two.
The two. New 5-cent Cynthia Sweets Coconut Cream Bar is a treat. You just can't beat. So, that's the idea that they wanted us to get across, and we've forgotten about the Cynthia Sweets chocolates. We haven't been talking much about those. Norm, you just handed me this card from Victor Records, and the first record I see that they mention as being released on September 26th, which is today, is by Mindy Carson. She's quite a gal with a song, they say. Had a good write-up in Life this week. Did you see it? Used to be a tomboy. Maybe she still is. I don't know. But she's receiving applause from not only the public, but the music world.
Mm.
And I'm sorry to say she won't be our guest this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to rehearse your sports cast for 1:35?
Bob, I came in here for a little entertainment today.
Well, shoot. That's a novel
A little
thing.
Joy out of life, a little few smiles, a couple of laughs.
Well, I'll tell you the...
I mean, it's hard to go through life facing the very various tribulations, the trying parts of the day, unless someplace along the line a bit of happiness can fall your way. But so far, I ain't heard nothing to laugh at.
Well, you about summed it all up in a nutshell, I'd say, and you've left us all crying. Thanks for adding this bright note to the program. No, I'll tell you why there hasn't been anything entertaining so far. I didn't write a script today because I figured that we'd have our mystery band leader come in and we could talk with him and probably spend most of the time. And he called me about 1:15 and said he wouldn't be here until 1:15. It's 1:15 now and he isn't here.
Yeah, next
hour. It's all right. You're going to be surprised if you haven't already guessed who it is.
I know who it is.
I know you know who it is. You've known right along, but you have had the decency to keep your mouth shut.
Prominent big... South Shore merchant now.
He is?
Entrepreneur.
No, he runs a restaurant. And I think most everybody's guessing, but I don't want to say it until he gets here. So, yes, and steaks and chocolate.
One order of fried clams to go.
And he has one place. This fella has one particular restaurant where you can get peas mixed with carrots if you want them that way.
But I don't like peas mixed with carrots.
You have to take them that way at this place.
Well, I know. I just won't have them, that's all.
Well,
I want the carrots on one side of the plate and the peas on the other.
Well, we can't arrange that.
I'll mix them myself.
Say, I see where New England Retail is taking another flyer with our show today. They're back with us.
Boy, they have courage.
And they have the same old copy, too. But it is a good deal, nevertheless. Have you looked at your living room set lately?
Yes, I have.
Well, is your sofa and your chairs worn and drab-looking?
They're not only worn,
are they?
They're tied by string.
Well, you know what you should do, of course. Contact New England Retail Company here in Boston right away.
I don't think they'd take the job.
They will take any job, believe me. This is the only furniture company in Boston about which Marie Wilson speaks very highly. You call Capital 7-4040 right now, and because of special summer inventory markdowns on all their lovely fabrics, New England Retail can rebuild and recover your sofa and a chair for only $49.50.
How much?
$49.50.
That sounds reasonable.
There's no charge for pickup or delivery. You get brand new cushions, new springs, and bright new coverings, over 300 different materials to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
The framework is strengthened, given a bright glossy or a hand-rubbed French finish. All furniture is insured while in the possession of the New England Retail Company, and all work is guaranteed. Easy terms, 10% down, 15 months to pay.
Bob, there's some uncouth people in the studio who are busily engaged in conversation while you're trying to talk about New England Retail.
They probably have a sofa and living room set that looks fine, and they don't need this information.
Probably haven't even got a sofa or a divan.
Well, that could be, too. But
that's probably the truth.
This is for people who need to have their drab-looking, worn-out sofas and chairs fixed up. And I know that you're one of those.
That's right.
So I'm trying to sell to you and anyone else who happens to be listening. Your sofa looks very drab. I noticed it the other day.
See four children jumping on it every day, though.
Oh, you can't keep things looking too well that way.
It's used as a springboard.
Yes, but...
It's used as a spring from the sofa to the top of the piano. And the piano is used as a skating ring, I might add.
Oh, great. Well, you know that you can have your sofa and chair rebuilt and recovered now, and fabrics have been marked down for the summer. And it's a good thing, too, because fall is here. At New England Retail Company and everywhere else. 113 Causeway Street in Boston. Huh? What? They're not either. They do a wonderful job. And all you have to do, if you'd like to have them call at your house, is to call Capital 7-4040. Right now, you ask for Miss Barry.
So far, I ain't heard nothing funny.
Ask for Miss Barry. She's got a load of gags. That's Capital 7-4040. Now we join our West Coast audience. One moment, please. Here we are back with part two of Matinee with Bob and Ray. I suppose we should have a song to usher in this great occasion, shouldn't we? No, I haven't heard from Ray yet. He's got another week of his vacation to serve, you know. What's your second song going to happen? Song of Indians? Now, this is the Tommy Dorsey arrangement? All right, little Kenneth Wilson, age 9, and little Bill Green, age 7, patter over to the organ and piano. There they go. They've got their music all spread out. Remember, the phone number in the Honor City, which is Boston, is Capital 7-4040. That'll get a lot of calls. You may vote by asking for Miss Barry. Here they are now in Song of India. Thank you. us, is it, that we're listening to music by you two fellas? Were we really listening to that? Seemed like a dream. Ken and Bill with Song of India. Well, sir, the day has been saved. We have our mystery band leader here, and as you may have guessed, and as we will announce at this moment, the man who had the band on that record of Cover Me Up with the Sunshine of Virginia was none other than Maury Pearl. Maury, welcome to Matinee with Bob and Ray. Good to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
That's for the television cameras. We just shook hands there. Tell us a little bit about that record. We fooled an awful lot of people. We played it. Hollis Gray played sax on that.
That's right. Hollis Gray played sax. Pearly Stevens played alto.
Yeah.
Bob played second alto. Yeah. Don't mind me smoking, dear.
No.
I love cigars.
Well, we'll give you a chance.
I like Chesterfield cigarettes.
You are smoking a cigarette there. Go ahead.
And I believe it was Leo Kahn played piano.
Yeah, and when was that record made? That was way back in the early 20s, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 1928.
28 it was.
That's right.
Well, we knew it was quite ancient. It was made in New York. It was on the Brunswick label.
That's right, Brunswick label.
That was one of the clues we gave. You had a band for how many years, Maury?
Oh, for approximately 20 years.
20 years. Yes. You played all of the top spots around Boston. I know
That's
a lot
right.
of the people who listen to us have danced to your music in the past. When did you give the band up?
About 12 years ago.
12 years ago, and then you went into the restaurant business.
Well, but I knew a lot about the restaurant. I worked in hotels, the busboy.
You pick up a lot that way.
I picked up a lot that as silverware. We
he
picked
didn't
plenty.
Pick up any silverware. What are you talking about? No, but I know you do. Ever since Ray and I have been playing places like the Somerset and the Casino at Magnolia, and with Sammy Eisen's able guidance, we've been able to pick up a lot of things.
Oh, has he got all his hair?
He hasn't got any more of it than he's had for quite a while. But he still looks the blooming youth that he is.
I haven't seen him for years.
Well, I thought maybe Sammy would drop up today, but he hasn't put in an appearance for quite a while. So you let the band go, and you went into becoming a restaurateur, huh?
That's right.
And that, of course, is the famous Maury Pearl's down in Quincy on the Southern Artery that a great many people, including myself, pass every day. Incidentally, you remember you said that you would give a clam dinner to those 10 winners.
That's right.
I've been announcing that, so we got to come through.
Well, you just send them down to us. We'll take care of them very nicely.
Well, we've written to all of them today, and they will have instructions. Give us a little bit of information about Hollis. Was he really the musician he's cracked up?
Hollis played beautiful sax, as you hear on that record.
What kind of sax were they?
E-flat sax.
Yeah.
He played beautiful, and if you listen to that record very careful, you'll find that he had a tone fully as good as Guy Lombardo, the same style.
Mm-hmm.
That slurry, pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
And he was the lead sax man in the outfit, wasn't he?
He was.
What was the biggest record you made?
What do you mean?
The biggest seller in those days. I know they didn't put as much emphasis on records, I guess, back in the 20s as they have lately. But did you have any that really sold a lot of copies?
Yeah. I Love You.
Yeah.
I Love You. Remember that tune?
Yeah, well, I'm not much of a singer, but... I've heard it. And the other side of this, Cover Me Up with the Sunshine of Virginia, had a big record on it. You told me on the phone the other day.
Since Miles playing Mahjong.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that one. Ken, you, of course, remember that.
I found that record, Mr. Elliott.
Yes, you did. That was found at the...
Found
in the basement of the Brookline Music and Radio Company. Mr. Prossy find it out there for you?
He helped me.
He did. Well, I don't know how many copies of that are around, Maury. several of the 10 winners that we had who identified your band said that they had copies of that record around the house. And they heard it on the air, and they remembered that they had them. They dug the records out, and that was it, by George. You think you'll ever go back into the music business
again?
I don't think so, no. I bet you have a collection of a lot of your own records.
No, I haven't.
You know?
No, I haven't got... I've only got one record. That's the record that you played here today.
The same one. Huh? How many copies of that do you suppose are still in existence now?
Well, I can't imagine. It might be maybe 100.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less.
Oh, we had quite a lot of mail, and it was quite amazing how few right answers we had, considering your popularity and fame, not only in these parts, but around the country. We had...
a good return on it. The people who did guess it right were really going out there and working for their prizes. Well, I want to thank you for dropping up.
I'm glad to be here.
I called Maury this morning about 10:15, and he sounded a little bit tired. I didn't know whether he really realized that we wanted him to drop up or not, but we certainly do appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and...
Nice to meet you finally. I've seen your place down there so often. There's Mr. Gray out there.
Hello, Hollis.
You'll notice he doesn't have any more hair than Eisen either. Well, so that about wraps things up for this afternoon, I think. Let me check the schedule here. Tomorrow we'll be back again at 1 o'clock with matinee. Music of Ken and Bill, Charlie Burgoyne at the controls. Ray will be back on Monday, but no doubt Al Burns will be with us tomorrow. We have a special guest on Wednesday, too. A young fellow with a very fine voice that we met the other night down at Greenwald in Scituate. He's going to drop in for a song, I think. So until tomorrow, this is Bob Elliott with our thanks to you for joining us. Thanks again to Maury Pearl for dropping in. And to all of you who took part in our mystery band contest. We'll look for you tomorrow. Until then, hang by your thumbs and write if you get work. You've given up the special for tomorrow, huh?